Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Overnight America continues just past midnight. We are border to border, but every once in a while, this powerful signal of Camo X reaches over to the UK. So who knows, maybe Pierce Morgan may be listening right now, getting ready for the show. Good morning, Britain, or whatever it may be. And this song, for sure, this old jingle playing in the back of his mind. How to make
the most of who you are. Father to son.
This is back when they had great production in these commercials. Man, you couldn't afford this anymore.
The best of men to get.
Oh, what a killer jingle. Best a man can get. Who, what guy hasn't sang that jingle out loud, honestly? Well, it's back again. Gillette has a new ad, and we talked about it just briefly yesterday.
Bullying.
The Me Too movement against sexual harassment.
Toxic masculinity.
Is this the best a man can get?
Toxic masculinity. Well, a lot of people are mocking this online. I did a whole thing on this yesterday, so I don't have to do it again. But I want to play what happened on Good Morning Britain with Pierce Morgan. My whole deal is, why in the world would you take your cues from a stupid ad? If you, for some reason, feel like your values need to align with a major corporation who's trying to get money from you, you are so lost. You are as lost as it gets. Please, Gillette, tell me, what do I believe in? Pfft. Yeah, right. So here's Pierce Morgan, and man, does he lean into it. I think it's great.
I would say for 35 years, since I basically became a man. Oh, sorry. Apologies. I didn't mean to use the M word. I'm so sorry to everybody who's offended by my use of the M word.
I'm so sorry if using the word man offends you. Oh, how dare you upset everyone that doesn't identify. But he's already laying the groundwork for this.
Word, and I'd like to apologize if you were hurt by that and offended and upset.
Man up.
Yeah, no, please. That's even more offensive. Anyway, when I turned 18, I began buying Gillette razor blades, right? That's what you do. Turn 18, you want to start to shave. You know, got my dad to help me. All
and
had
it's
that
the
moment.
Best a man can get, of course.
Actually, apparently it's the worst. Apparently it's the worst because Gillette have a new advert out. The best a man can get's been their strap line for ever since I've been
30 years,
it, right?
1989, yeah.
Right, so pretty much ever since.
Right,
so pretty much ever since I began.
Let me ask you this question, producer Mike. When did you first start shaving? What was the year? How old were you when you first started shaving?
I honestly don't remember. I'd have to guess.
Did you use Gillette on your face when you shaved your beard off today?
Nope, Barbasol. I had a Gillette razor, actually.
Yeah, they're popular.
Barbasol cream.
Gillette's an extremely popular brand. There's a lot of companies. Dollar Shave Club is going to benefit from this big time. So I wanted to ask you, how old would you guess you were when you first got your first razor and started shaving?
Yeah, I would guess, I don't know, maybe like 8th grade?
Yeah, right around there.
Yeah.
The old two-blade razors I thought were the greatest thing in the history of the world. I'm like, wow, two blades, man. Can it get any better than this? Whoa, we're living in the future. I would have been right around there, too. 8th grade or so. Not that I necessarily needed it, but, you know, it's not like I was growing beards in 8th grade. I was growing facial hair easily by high school. And maybe my junior year of high school, I grew a beard. You believe that? It was, I can't grow beards. It doesn't grow out and down. It grows curly. It's so gross. But it was like a thing with the soccer. I was playing soccer, and it's like no one shaved. It was like you did the playoff beard. So mine just grew out. You can see, tell the kids that couldn't grow any facial hair. You know, they're patchy, and it's like embarrassing. I got this full-blown just rat's nest on my chin. It's like it just grows out and just puffy. It doesn't go down like a regular beard should. Totally embarrassing, but still. right around that same time, earlier before I got into high school, I would say I started to shave a little bit. Just, you know, just because. Not that I have it the way it looks today or anything like that. I would say if you're if you don't start shaving until 18, that seems late. That seems really late. All right, so Piers Morgan, continuing with this Gillette ad.
Gillette stood for positivity, being a man who took care of his kids, who took care of his wife or girlfriend or whoever, boyfriend, doesn't matter, hugs his dad, touch with his family. He held his son without a papoose, right? He liked to win things. He liked to strive to be successful, to work hard, to achieve things, to be stoic, to be tough, all those things, right?
Competitive.
But apparently it turns out all that was evil.
You're so right. As it turns out, for the past 30 years, everything we've tried to sell to you is evil. So please ignore our past.
Evil. So what Gillette now says is everything we told you to be, men, for the last 30 odd years was evil. Now you're all evil people.
Toxic.
Now you're all toxic with your masculinity. By the way, the same toxic masculinity that Gillette has told us to be for 30 years, right? Making tons of money with the most expensive razor blades in the world.
Absolutely. The most expensive razor blades in the world. Yes, they are expensive. You ever gone into a place and they have the razor blades behind glass? When you get into some of these Walgreens or CVS's, these mostly the smaller stores, you go to a Walmart. I don't know if you see it that way, too. But yeah, it's no joke. These things are so expensive. Honestly, I buy Gillette just because sometimes I find them on sale online and I'll buy a big box of them when you get them for about a dollar a razor. Those, I think I have the Fusion. Is that a Gillette? Is that a Fusion? I love those razors. They've always treated me really well. I definitely use them much longer than they need to. Yeah, but no, if you wait online, you can get them about a buck a blade if you really wait for the right sale to come on. But I tell you what, next time I look for blades, you know what's going to happen? What? Are they going to have to jump their prices up because their sales are down? Man, I don't even know if that's going to be possible again. They make a good product, but man, what dummies when it comes to try to mansplain men. Mansplain to men.
It's utter guff.
Implication. What's guff about it?
Here's what's guff about it. The implication from that commercial now is that basically most men are pretty toxic. Awful people. We're toxic.
Why is that?
We're overly masculine.
All
right?
Men intervening and cooperating and being diplomatic.
Yeah, the implication being most men are horrible little bullies.
We're men.
Sexual harassers, abusers, etc., etc. And we all have to be saved from ourselves. We're all dreadful people.
Why?
We have to be saved from ourselves. We're all dreadful people.
The virtue signaling nonsense contained in it. The implication
that
somehow we all have something to apologize for. Shut up, Gillette. You spent the last 30 years making men feel masculine. And by the way, you were right, because there's nothing wrong with being masculine. Now you want us all to feel sorry and apologetic, right? No, sorry. No, I'm not going to.
Why
In fact,
would you be
I'm going to take my business and I'm going to buy other razor blades.
Whoa! There is nothing wrong with being masculine. Way to go, Piers Morgan. Honestly, I have to clap. Now, he's wrong on things like gun control, but man, is he right on when it comes to this Gillette ad. Gillette is getting their name out there. It's exactly what they wanted to happen. The discussion, good or bad, is out there. They understand that these campaigns get a lot of publicity, and they injected it in when they needed it. And they're hoping that people have short memories when it comes to this sort of thing. But still, it is definitely worth mocking them while it's out there. Definitely worth mocking them. Maybe you want to defend that ad. Maybe you were brought to tears. Maybe you saw that and said, you're right. You're right. Everything I've known and everything I've done is a complete lie. I will change my life from this forward on. Next time I'm out grilling, I'll realize that in front of that grill, my toxic masculinity is getting in my way. So instead of going in front of a grill, maybe I'll throw it in the oven where people can't see me outside, where I'll be toxic masculinity's number one poster child. Or maybe next time my kids are wrestling in the yard, I'll run out there for them not to shame my last name. I do not want my neighbors to see my kids playing outside. You know, maybe, does anyone really say that in their robot voice? I must listen to Gillette. It's Overnight America, KMOX.
The virtue signaling nonsense contained in it. The implication that somehow we all have something to apologize for. Shut up, Gillette.
Shut up. Shut up. Gillette, please. Shut up.
Stop it.
Oh, Producer Mike, can I ask you a question real quick? Let me bring you on. I've probably been putting you on too much, but still. Let me just do this real quick. I'm going to ask you a question. Do you find a woman with a lower voice more attractive than a woman with a higher voice? We're not talking about Fran Drescher or whatever, but just think of a regular woman's voice, and then think of, I'm sure you've met women that have much deeper voices. It sounds like they smoke a pack a day or whatever it is. Do you find that more attractive than an average female voice?
No, I wouldn't say I base attraction off voice at all.
Oh, well, a study says men find women with a lower voice more attractive. They spoke to a woman who was referenced in the study, and they used her voice as the example of a woman with a lower voice. I'm going to play this woman's voice. I want you to tell me if you think it is a attractive voice, not an attractive person, just an attractive voice.
Hello, I'm Mariella Frostrup, writer, broadcaster, and the Observer newspaper's agony aunt. Today, I'm going to try and help a group of people who have problems that are very different, but share the same root cause.
What do you think? What do you think of her voice?
I think it's attractive because it's British.
Hello.
You like that? Hello.
Who doesn't?
Hello.
You like that one part? Is that enough for you to...
Hello.
That it's right there. As soon as she says, hello.
Hello.
Hello. As soon as she says that, you're hooked. You're in. You're sign me up. You're swiping right.
Hello.
So let me read this study.
Stop it.
Hello, I'm Mariella Frostrup.
I just wanted to hear it one more time. She says her name really nice.
Stop it.
What do you think of her voice? Do you find that voice attractive?
Very much so.
How about this
Stop
one?
It!
How about this one?
Eh.
Not as much?
No.
Okay. You find this voice attractive?
Anybody can put up with Bobo is awesome.
You find that one?
Never been more unattractive.
Anybody?
No, sorry.
Hello.
Just we need to get that one and save it. So study says men find women with lower voice more attractive, and they use that Mariella as the voice referenced in the study. And she's the one that wrote this article for the Daily Mail. You know what this whole article is about? My voice is the greatest voice ever. She's like bragging about her own voice. She's bragging about it as if she spent years training her voice to be the way it is. And really, she doesn't exactly know why it is. They say some people just have an ability to better control their vocal cords, and it's just something that some people have and other people don't. It's like some people can wiggle their ears. Some people could raise one eyebrow. Other people have a little bit better control over their vocal cords. Well, she's one of them. And as a female, it benefits her because a study says men find women with a lower voice more attractive. This is what she says. I'll read part of this article. My voice has been both a blessing and a curse from childhood, though not quite for the reasons you'd think. I was certainly bullied for the way in which I spoke when growing up in the 70s in rural Ireland, but the teasing was more about Norwegian accent than my gravelly tones. She's got to get over herself. If this voice was working in her benefit, her bragging about her voice equalizes that out, if not tips her back in the opposite direction of unattractive. Not in a sense of, you know, the way she looks, but, you know, if a deep voice is attractive, and as in something that is a plus if you're looking for someone in a relationship, now she's backed it off because her attitude about it all makes it a negative. For the first time, the huskiness became a topic of conversation when I was made my debut appearance on a television show in the mid-80s. The reaction to what was to me simply my voice came as a surprise, it says. Yet the first review of music show Big World Cafe, the program I presented on Channel 4 in 1989, she's over on the BBC, focus more on my voice than my words. I'm amused that science suggests how we speak is supposed to represent how we look. A study from the Nottingham Trent University showed the majority of us can accurately match how someone looks with how they sound. That, I gotta say, is couldn't be farther from the truth. Honestly, if you were to do a lineup of 10 people, if you were to have me and 9 other people line up, and you had to guess who I was just based on my voice, and you only had the reference point of this voice, there is no chance you would pick me out. You would have luck. If there was 10 people that had an opportunity to guess, I would guess 1 out of those 10 would actually pick me. I think 0 out of 10. The way I look, the way I dress, well, I discuss how I dress here. I'm not like a flashy dresser by any means. So I'd have to have someone else dress me. But there's no way you'd pick me up based on my voice. I don't know if I've met a single person in any radio scenario where I say, oh, I'm Ryan Recker. I work over at KMOX. Not one person has ever said, oh, you look exactly how you sound. It's always, oh, I expected something different. Always. So, let's see. Does my husband like the sound of my voice? Of course not. What husband stops and listens as though to nightingale song or the sweet sound of children singing to their wife moaning about how busy they are? She's trying to be all poetic. Get over yourself, lady. All right. Oh, Bob calling in from Afton. Hey, Bob, what's going on?
Hey, Ryan. Ryan, on that Gillette commercial, what's the idea of the men behind the barbecue pit?
Oh, they're saying that is the visualization of toxic masculinity. You know, there's nothing more manly than standing behind a grill cooking up brats and burgers and steaks, I guess. I don't know. Who knows?
I always did that when I was married. I always did that to give my wife a break from cooking.
I think my wife has asked me no less than twice a month to get a barbecue because she wants me out there. There's something, it just tastes good and it's fun to barbecue. I just haven't bought one for whatever reason. I need to.
Yeah,
get out there. Do you do charcoal or propane?
Propane.
Oh, you are such a toxic masculine figure. I tell you what, Bob. Isn't it just so, like, give it up, Gillette. Stop trying to tell me that, your product is somehow going to be there to set the pace of what men should be. It's ridiculous to think about it like that.
And one more thing, if I could, Ryan, settle a bet for me with my girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
How many states, now I'm not looking at a map right now, I'm in the dark, but how many states border Missouri? I said 7. My girlfriend said 8.
Oh, I'm going to look right now. So let's see. I'm allowed to look?
Yeah, you can look. I don't have a computer.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. I count 8.
8.
Yeah, so Illinois, Kentucky, Tennessee, Arkansas, Oklahoma, Kansas, Nebraska, Iowa.
All right, looks like I'm going to go see Queen then.
Oh, Bob. Maybe you'll enjoy it. Who knows? There's been mixed reviews on that. I don't know.
Yeah, if she won, we'd see Queen. If I won, I'd see the new Clint Eastwood movie.
Oh, come on. That is going to be such a better movie.
I know. Looks like I lost the bet. I said, there's 7 states.
Maybe
she said, no, there's 8.
Maybe there's a technicality in there somewhere. So she didn't specify the year where you were counting the state surrounding Missouri. So maybe you can get lucky and, like, Nebraska wasn't counted as a state at some point. And
maybe I barbecue some brats for her.
Yeah. All right, Bob. Good to hear from you. Thanks for calling
in. Thanks, Ryan.
Oh, that Clint Eastwood movie, The Mule. Clint Eastwood puts together some awesome films. I really don't go to see movies, but I really wanted to see that one, mostly because any other Clint Eastwood movie I've ever seen, I've really enjoyed. It's weird because there was a time when I used to watch a lot of movies, and it just, that whole appeal of watching a film vanished. And the things that you remember enjoying before that appeal vanished still has some appeal to you when it pokes its head back up. And that's one of those things. You know what I mean? All right, this is Overnight America, KMOX. So sorry to settle that bet for Bob. Bummer. Gonna have to go see the inferior movie of the two. Unless you make a deal. All right. I was talking to producer Mike right before he walked out the door. We were talking about movies, and I guess you could go see it by yourself. Is it weird to go see a movie by yourself? I don't think it is. I don't think there should be a stigma with seeing a movie by yourself. You should be fine to do it. You shouldn't have to feel like it's weird. I don't have any problem with it. I saw this scene from CBS News. So people have been doing what they call the 10-year challenge on Facebook. And it's not much of a challenge. The challenge is find a photo from 10 years ago. Ooh, real hard. You have it documented on that platform itself. Most people have things posted from when they opened up their social media accounts 10 years ago that one click of a button, they're able to look at what some of their first photos look like. And then you put it side by side with a photo of today. And everyone's been doing this. And, oh, it's so fun. Look at you. Oh, you look different. Oh, you look the same. Oh, you look better. Oh, you look terrible. Ugh, what happened to you? Eee. So some people have different reactions to this sort of thing. CBS puts this up, and obviously this is how this discussion should have gone. Facebook on Wednesday distanced itself from the 10-year challenge after an article set off speculation that the social media giant could be secretly mining data from the photos to improve its facial recognition algorithms. Oh, of course. My first impression was Facebook already has all of this information. They have your account. They have the photos you posted on their platform. They could obviously use their artificial intelligence to detect faces because they already do that. You ever upload a picture on Facebook and they say, is this person in the photo with you? And it's kind of scary the way that they can identify that. And you know what? If they could take your photos from then, take it from now, they could do all of this on their own if they really wanted to. So what's the fear that this 10-year challenge is actually secretly trying to compile a giant database? Well, let's continue with this article because they say, it says the photo challenge gives Facebook a perfect storm for machine learning. Amy Webb, professor at the NYU Stern School of Business, has an upcoming book about it. It says it presented Facebook with a terrified opportunity to learn to train their system to better recognize small changes. So as opposed to the system doing all of this work and trying, you know, there could be flaws. They could pick the wrong photo. They're making the challenge so that all of the other, they're making the challenge so that all of the other people that are posting this up are doing the hard work for them. And then that way it's easy for them to just take one and the other side by side and look for those subtle changes. Well, that makes sense to me. The 10-year challenge popped up last week across Facebook, Instagram. Instagram's owned by Facebook, and also Twitter. Millions have participated. The challenge has generated 5.2 million engagements on Facebook in just 3 days. Yikes. Speculation about the meme's motive flared up when a Wired writer, Kate O'Neill, published an op-ed suggesting it wasn't just harmless fun. All of it starts this way. Anytime someone asks you to upload a photo of yourself for their whatever fun little game, you know that they're using that as a way to mine your data. This is a user-generated meme that went viral on its own. Facebook did not start this trend, and the meme uses photos that already exist on Facebook, the company said in their defense. Facebook gains nothing from this meme besides reminding us the questionable fashion trends of 2009. I guess there was some questionable trends. It's not like you're going back to the 90s. Ooh, you really want to have some questionable trends. Go back 25 years or whatever it is, mid-90s. Now that is when you're going to see some questionable trends. Oh, no, those jorts looked really good on you. Oof. The 10-year challenge comes about a year after a similar effort from Google. One of Facebook's biggest competitors did the Google Arts and Culture app that matches selfies with works of art that resemble the user. The app uses facial recognition algorithms, compares side-by-side comparisons of users to upload a photo. I instantly thought about that and how they were using what seemed like similar techniques, and everyone questioned Google at the time. I don't know why you wouldn't. There was another article that came out now that we're doing some tech stuff. This is from Medium.com. And the headline was kind of cool. It says, Nike and Boeing are still paying sci-fi writers to predict the futures. Why wouldn't you? If you're a tech company, in a company that relies on moving the ball forward and setting a higher mark and being the first to do something that you think is going to be a giant trend, then why wouldn't you try to hire people that would anticipate where the future's going? Think about what Star Trek did to technology. You can watch some of those old episodes and say, well, sure, you had sci-fi writers that came up with some ideas of wouldn't it be cool if they had this sort of thing, or maybe in the future they'll be able to do this sort of thing. And you know what? That inspired scientists to try doing that. A Minority Report produced 100 patents and helped rapidly mainstream the concept of hand-gestured-based computing. That movie with Tom Cruise. It just inspired people to go out there and do these things. Think about everything that's hand-based gestured. Touchscreen tablets, the Wii Kinect from Microsoft, other things too, you know, iPhones. We can go back and see these things and say, yeah, there's probably a sci-fi writer from the past that inspired that sort of thing. So PricewaterhouseCoopers, the professional service firm that advises 440 of the Fortune 500 companies, published a blueprint for using science fiction to explore business innovation. They spend big money to bring these people in. It's insane. You know, hundreds of thousands of dollars to bring people in to try to give them some ideas. I'm in the wrong business. So, for example, over the years, McDowell and his partners have made near future worlds of Nike, Ford, American Society of Civil Engineers, Boeing, and even other cultural languages that were at risk of dying. So it says phase one, if you want to hire their services, cost $100,000 per month for a minimum of 3 months. They do a summit with the stakeholders. They invite people in. They try to discuss where the future is going with the company. And then they plot this out and say, here's where we think it could go. For Nike, McDowell's world building resulted in a book called Unlocking 2025, A World of Unlimited Human Athletic Potential. And they follow athletes in the world's best. They try to monitor them through technologies. They do this, do that. So McDowell, through Nike, wanted to try to capitalize on where athletes were going and how the body was developing and all of these things. 100 grand a month. Man, I'm in the wrong business. Now, if anyone wants me to predict the future, go ahead. Give me a call. Now, my track record's not the best. My crystal ball gets a little foggy. But, you know, I don't know. What am I shooting about 40% accuracy? That's not too bad. 314-436-7900. I wanted to bring up the story next about instant karma. Sometimes it's going to get you. And there's the red flags to watch out before you get married. You don't need a crystal ball to realize there's some things that could be coming in a marriage or someone that you want to get married to. Some things that may be problems down the line. My wife tells me I had a couple of them. I'll share what those were coming up on Overnight America KMOX. Oh, instant karma's gonna get you. Been singing a lot tonight. I don't know why. No reason for it. Well, I guess it is technically Thursday. That's pretty nice. You know, day four of five of the week for me in Overnight America. I'll be back again, of course, Thursday night. So we got a little bit of time left in today's show. So if you want to join in on that, you can. 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. You're sitting on the couch or sitting in the nice lounger or maybe you're driving or whatever it is. We connect you border to border. So I mentioned trying to look into the future. You can't always tell where that future is going when it comes to a significant other. You know, it's hard. People do have some certain traits that don't necessarily show up until after the fact. And this is what my wife always criticized me. And she said, I wish I would have known this before we got married. She said, I wish you would have told me you don't like to travel as much. She loves traveling. I hate traveling. Now, before we were married, there were certain things we'd travel and do. Like, I don't know, like we used to take like little day trips and do certain things and it was kind of fun, but I don't like it. So now she wants to go on vacations all the time. Oh, I want to do this. Oh, now I want to go do this. And you know what the next thing is? She definitely wants to go down to Disney because we got the kid turned four. He would love it, I'm sure. I keep saying, not in the budget. Well, she's taking that as a way to throw it back in my face and saying, it's never going to be in the budget with you because you don't like to travel. So that was her red flag ahead of time. She should have figured out that our very limited traveling engagements should have tipped her off. I didn't like that sort of thing. But I think she says it in a joking way. I don't think she says it in a malicious way. So this is a story from the New York Post. More than 55,000 single men and women have applied to be on a show called Lifetime's Married at First Sight. What a crazy idea for a show. It says a reality show in its eighth season. That puts a modern twist on arranged marriages. Eighth season. Are they doing like five seasons a year? I thought the show just started. It says at the end, 8-week trial period, 4 selected couples have to decide whether they want to stay married or get divorced. Again, no. It's not like back in the 1950s where he comes back from the war and you get married a couple of days later. Those sort of happy type of marriages, just they do not exist in a modern world where you'll meet each other 2 days later, get married, and, you know, life is hunky-dory. You have to be on the same page as the person you're about to marry. It's very, very important. And I think that some of these red flags pointed in this article will prove that. It says, for example, all of us have ways in which we could be more supportive to our loving partners, okay? It says, if you're not willing to work on the relationship or be flexible, maybe that's a red flag. Okay, that's a good one. They look at this from the sense of the mentors on this show from Lifetime, because they screen the people and they look at their backgrounds. They look at all of these red flags and they find things that are a little bit too much to handle, even for the sake of reality television. So here's, for example, they said on the show, one prospective husband lived with his mom. They said that alone might not be a problem, but if she also professed strict requirements for a would-be wife, including desired height, experts decided not to send him in with that girl. So when you have a couple of different traits that don't mesh well, they have to try to weed those scenarios out as much as they can. Wouldn't that be sad? You have experts, people that are paid to look at the behavior of you, and they look at your background and say, there's no chance anyone would marry you. Next! Wouldn't that be a tough dose of reality is a wake-up call right there. It says, above all, listen to your body. If a red flag, if you start noticing physical symptoms such as a headache or a stomach ache, if you feel like you can't relax and be or yourself around that person, that is a big, big red flag. Alarm bells should be sounding. It says, some parents and kids are really close. They might say something like, my mom's my best friend, says the consultant on the show, but they need to be able to respect boundaries. You might say, you know, I don't feel comfortable with you telling your mom every time we have an argument or what our love like life is like. And the experts say, of course, there's some things you can't tell your parents. So if you're so close to your parents that you're telling them intimate details of what goes on in your marriage in the bedroom, that is weird to me. You gotta know that I don't care how good your relationship is with your parents, there's some things you don't bring up, and that's one of them. Please. And what parent is listening and wanting to hear details about their kid's sex life? Seriously. If your kid's married and they start telling you about their romantic side and like, here's what they do in the bedroom, parents, aren't you grossed out? Like, no, nope, don't, please, I don't need to hear these things. Right? That's just weird to me. Does anyone right now listening share their love life with their parents in intimate details? Ugh. I can't imagine that's happening all the time. But as this expert that looks into these backgrounds, they find stories like this and they have to figure out if they'd be a good fit for the show or not. So whether you share an intimate or serious issue about your marriage, a family member, don't forget, says a pastor who's been counseling couples for more than 20 years. He said, marriage ain't for punks. You would have to forget about it, but 6 months down the line, your parents will not forget about it. So if it's a argument that you've let go, you know, like Frozen, let it go. The argument's gone forever, let it go. But your parents won't, and their parents won't. And every time they see you, that's what they'll be thinking about. Okay, they said everyone's going to have consequences for the things they say to their partners. For example, a gentle ribbing about your partner's cooking is different than someone who's talking about how overweight they think their significant other is in front of them, criticizing the way they dress in front of them, things like that. I don't mind my wife criticizing the way I dress. I totally understand that to appease the norms of society that I do not dress all that fashionable, but I don't care. So she feels absolutely fine making fun of me because she knows I don't care. It's almost like as soon as, if the way I dressed became popular, like let's say trends came full circle and all of a sudden people started dressing the way I dress and that was the fashionable thing, I feel like then I wouldn't be able to dress the way I want to dress anymore, because as soon as that became popular, now I got to go do something else. Thanks a lot. Thanks a lot for ruining that for me. what else do they say? If the X is still in the picture, that's a big red flag. Now, if that X is around still, okay, that's not necessarily the worst. But they mention that in that picture, if the person you've dated who's now your friend cannot be as good a friend to the person you're going to marry as they are to you, they have to be discarded. Meaning if they're nice to you but hate who you're dating now, it's got to go. The flip side, beware of a significant other who is always praising you as perfect, they said. They also mentioned cheating is a marriage deal breaker for many, but behaviors that make your spouse question your loyalty are nearly as bad. So let's say you're out there flirting with other people, or you're online socially on Facebook or whatever, flirting with other people. Terrible for marriages, so be careful. All good red flags there. You don't really need a crystal ball to understand that there are some pretty big issues that marriages need to overcome ahead of time. I think if you're on the same page for a lot of these things, it can't overcome, but you have to be honest to yourself if you're on that page or not. There's a story from KDVR in Petersburg, Kentucky. What a great story this is. I love these instant karma style stories. You may have seen a picture pop up of this giant snowman. I'm going to guess this thing's about 8 feet tall once you put the hat on it. It's huge. So according to YXIX, Cody Lutz and her fiance Lucy, soon-to-be sister-in-law, decided to build an oversized snowman in the front yard, and people loved it in the neighborhood. Once you get that snowfall, I've seen so many snowmen all across the St. Louis region. So just this past week with everything that fell, perfect for building snowmen. And people are getting all fancy. They're making not just snowmen, they're making snow dinosaurs. They're making everything you can think of. And it's just cool. Well, they make this giant one. But to make the snowman and to make it that tall, they had to do something a little bit different. So they used a large tree stump in their front yard as the base, covered it with snow, and built off of it because, you know, when you get something that tall, you need something strong underneath it to help support it. Which, by the way, if you ever go to the beach and you want to build an awesome sandcastle, you know how the best way to do that is? You layer something in there that's solid. So as opposed to just trying to stack up sand over and over and over again, what the experts do is they put like a little piece of paper or something in there in between some of these layers, and you can keep building off of it and works like a charm, okay? So, instant karma happened. They built this giant snowman in their front yard, and some punk kid or whoever it was thought, oh, maybe I'll go and I'll try to drive across the lawn, and I'll go through it. It'll be like a movie. Oh, it'll be so fun. I'll just drive my car through it, and snow will fly everywhere, and we'll laugh, and it'll be great, and we'll play a nice little prank on this family. Well, prank was on the idiot that decided to try to drive through the front yard, because they realized very quickly as they approached this, and as they thought they were going to drive through the snowman, stopped, hit the tree stump, busted their car up and left. Now, no evidence was left behind, but the car tracks were still there. The snowman was damaged, and so was the stump. And the family's thinking, instant karma, it's hilarious. What comes around goes around. Good for this. I wish I could have witnessed that. It's Overnight America.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.